Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap in the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Surveying the squared circle. It's been a great week. At least I had a great weekend. I hope everyone else has too. A lot of us started on Wednesday evening and has gone right through until tonight. Matter of fact, my neighbors are still having their Sunday barbecue, 4th of July celebration. Just came back from it. So, very good videos. Met some new people, and most of all, got to hang out with some babies. Yeah, I kind of like the babies, new generation, and all that. So, it was a very enjoyable day. Scully is out with his family tonight. He won't be joining us. Hopefully the professor will be in soon. I have Mr. Dinkins. He'll be in at the half-hour mark, and we'll discuss some of these upcoming bouts and some of the bouts that we missed talking to Mr. Dinkins about. We'll talk about his new protege, of course. He made his debut over the weekend. And we'll also be talking with, of course, the professor and trying to get his take on the news around the country and also some things that should be up and coming. We're going to ask him, of course, about this Brettas decision by the WBO and their public discussion of the referees' actions during the Brettas fight. But since they haven't changed the decision, it really doesn't make any sense to me because you've now criticized the referee, saying that he's made multiple errors, but that you can't overturn the decision. So therefore, it's to me kind of like pointing out the referee's mistakes in an NBA game after the game is over. The score is up there, the decision has been rendered, and you can't do anything about it. So why not? Just make a statement without actually scorching the referee. But anyway, the WBO says that it's not going to make any other decision, but they would like Brettas to meet Milwaukee after the end of the World Series of Boxing. I think, let's see, how did this go? What they actually intend to do is they want Brettas to face Milwaukee after the WBS is all over. And see if he would be welcome to a rematch afterwards. So, like I said, a lot of words, a lot of finger pointing, but either way, Brettas comes up with the decision, and that's what he's going to be in the cruiserweight semifinal. Let's see. Rumors. Of course, we now hear that there's a possibility of Canelo facing Demetrius Andrade. I believe what is it, September the 14th. I'm not really sure about this. And the reason why I say this is because I think that there might be an easier fight out there. And he possibly, now money is a big issue here. So where is he going to get the most money? And I'm kind of wondering about this here. I see the professor's here, so I'm going to ask him. Professor, how are you doing this evening?
Doing good, JK.
I really wanted to kind of start out the conversation, of course, with what I thought might be the most important announcement, even though I don't think that this is going to take place. But I think it's interesting that it was put out there. And I'm talking about September the 14th, Demetrius Andrade against Canelo. You've had some thoughts on this, and you've been very vocal about it during many shows. So has your mind changed? Do you think that Canelo is really going to fight Demetrius, or do you think that when all said and done, he's going to find a smaller fish to fry?
Man, this is just control damage. This is all this is. They receive a tremendous amount of backlash, you know, after reports came out about Kovalev and possibly Calum Smith. And I've been watching it very closely, and it's just smoke and mirrors, because Canelo right now is clout chasing. He's clout chasing. He's using all of those names as deflection to just try to get everything stirred up, all the attention on him. And he's going to slap you right in the face again with that Triple G fight, which I don't want to see. And I just feel that it's coming. That Triple G fight is going to come. I know they ran into some snags about the location. Triple G don't want it in Vegas. But at the end of the day, Triple G don't want to fight no other opposition besides Canelo, any big opposition. He'll go out here and get these warm-up little tomato cans, but real opposition, he don't want no smoke with none of that, with the Andres, the Billy Joes, the Jamal Charlos, the Danny Jacobs rematch. Like, he don't want none of that. So I just think at the end of the day with Canelo, it's smoke and mirrors, man. We might just get that Triple G fight. I don't see the Kovalev fight happening right now. I see it in the future, but not right now, because of the simple fact of the mandatory status, and they don't really want to pay step-aside money. And they have to do a dual production far as programming between DAZN and ESPN. So I just think they is going to delay that fight and just get the mandatory with Kovalev mandatory coming up here. That's about to happen in Russia. And the Callum Smith, he's still He's out there, but I just don't think Canelo is going to take that chance of fighting a young, hungry, undefeated champion. And he's a big guy, too. And he possessed some power. And he beat a big fighter in George Groves, which, you know, is a legend over there in the UK. He done been in 80,000-seat arenas with Carl Froch two fights, and he's fought a lot of the guys through the divisions, through multiple divisions, actually. And I think that's a challenge that Canelo might not want to take right now, because there's some rumors about he's steadily having these knee issues. So I think you really want to have your mobility if you're fighting a big, strong guy that's coming forward, that's coming at you. You're going to want to be able to get out of the way and be able to move laterally. And if that knee isn't 100% and he's having problems with it, I don't think him and his team would want to step into that fight. So that's what brings me back to Triple G, a fight that he know that he feel that he can win, and he's going to make a lot of money and shove it down our throats. And that's that, JK.
Considering the Triple G is now with Jonathan Banks, do you think that the fight would be more competitive? This is already going to be the trilogy. I mean, so what's next for Triple G if he has a second loss to Canelo? Is he gone? I mean, you know, does he retire? Does he go back down? I mean, Triple G doesn't necessarily put butts in seats. So, I mean, what does he do?
Well, at this juncture, with the contract that he have with DAZN, it doesn't matter who he fight, because his contract is not like Canelo, whereas Canelo's contract is he gets that money long as he's winning. Now, if he takes a loss, it changes, whereas Triple G is guaranteed this money, plus he has his own promotional company where his fights will be on DAZN. He have fight dates. So he has a little bit more stake in the company, and he has guaranteed money. He just made $14.5 million to fight Steve Rose.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. $14.5 million. You're right. I mean, I had to take that in for a minute. I had to kind of swallow that. $14.5 million. I could have fought Steve for a little less. We've seen a lot of the last couple of weeks, at least, a lot of Lions-only promotions. Do you think that, we've seen a lot of these young fighters, you know, Devin Haney, for instance, you got, of course, All About the Billions. But with the Charlos, I mean, what do you think? does it seem like that they're starting to get a bigger piece of the pie? I mean, you know, and I'm not just talking about, you know, the Chalo fights where, you know, they've been the headliners, but, you know, some other small promotions, they've also been on TV, you know, live-going promotions. What do you think about their business acumen as far as the way that they've been able to build themselves up?
I mean, they're coming slowly but surely, but if they want to get these big fights, closed mouth don't get fed. Yeah, they boisterous to a certain degree, you know. In interviews, they straightforward and, you know, very boisterous. But the thing is, they got to approach these fighters. If they want these fights, they got to come in these press conferences or step in the ring. But you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to be disrespectful about it, like bombarded and just come in and be all loud. Nah, just when you get an opportunity to get the mic, you get the mic and just let it be known. Look, I want this fight. You know, you ain't got to be cursing and doing all that, but just let it be known. And I don't see the Chalos doing that, you know. I don't see them doing that. It's like they're content where they at. You know, you don't hear them really barking about not getting the big fights. Okay, Canelo, you know, I'm going my way. It is what it is. You know, he ain't want to fight me. Like, come on, man. That ain't convincing nobody that you want to fight. You got to go and step to these guys. Look at Billy Joe Saunders over the weekend. If you didn't know KK.
Yeah, Kazakhstan. He went all the way to Kazakhstan.
You know what I'm saying? This dude went to this guy's hometown. Like, okay, they putting on a big fight there. This will be an opportunity for me to get in front of this dude, peoples, his home country. Let them know where I stand. You know what I'm saying? That's what these guys do. You see Danny Jacobs? Let Canelo know, like, yo, come get the smoke. Triple G, come get the smoke. Laura, bust up in the Canelo press conference. Like, look, man, you seem like you trying to avoid me. And look, he got the fight. So that's what these guys got to do, man. They got to be stepping in these guys personally. Like, yo, like Deontay Wilder, ain't no more running, no ducking, no dodging. You know what I'm saying? That's what you got to do. If you want to fight, that's what you got to do. What you think, TK?
Look, hey, I'm 100% with you. I mean, you know, when I saw that Billy Joel in Kazakhstan, I immediately posted that yesterday. I mean, you know, this is like back in the traditions of Ali and you know, guys like that. Sugar Ray Leonard calling out, you know, guys, and they, hey, you got to love it. You know what I'm saying? You know, the thing of it is we have, and I got to go back to Scully's point here, man. We got so many damn champions and so many, you know, as you said, you know, paper tigers, man, that, you know, the fights that we really want to see, you know, are they going to be, you know, weighted down by these mandatories? You know, organizations going to start giving out, you know, franchise championships to certain fighters? I mean, you know, I don't hate to bring it up, but I thought that Tony Harrison and the way that he called out Chalo in the press conference, I like to see things like that. I like to see guys put on the black hat. That brings me back to the old days. So I love it. But, you know, like you say, these guys that are just sitting around waiting for paydays, or it doesn't seem like they really care about having the belt. It goes to me the fact that the championships have become so diluted. You know, I'm the WBC champ. Well, I'm the WBC gold champ. I'm the WBC 10 belt champ. I mean, you know, I'm the diamond champ. What the hell does it all mean?
Yeah, but still on the Charlos, isn't it strange that Ronnie is more boisterous than Jamal? Like, you watch the interview, he's more aggressive and animated about, you know, getting the fights or stuff is wrong or whatever. He's more boisterous and more demanding than the Charlo, than Jamal is.
That was another thing I was going to ask you about, the demeanor, because, you know, usually Ronnie lets his fighter do the talking, and, you know, afterwards he talks about the performance and this, that, and the other. But, you know, now we have a different Ronnie Shields. But, you know, another thing I'm really interested in getting your take on, what happens if he loses? What happens if Charlo loses to Tony Harrison twice? Where does he go? What does he do? All that talking got to be over. Will he be another box office attraction? Can he put butts in seats?
Nah, I mean, he's still young. He'll be able to bounce back. I mean, if some guys just got some guy's number. You know what I'm saying? We got a Hall of Famer. One of my top three favorite fighters of all time, Sugar Shane Mosley. He lost to Vernon Forbes twice. Vernon had his number. He moved up in weight and challenged himself and fought my boy from Florida. I don't know why I'm having a Ring T. Wright. Twice, lost. Winky was just the bigger, stronger guy. But Sugar Shane, the Hall of Fame, he done fought everybody. Mayweather, Pacquiao, Canelo, you name it. De La Hoya, Fernando Vargas, Mayorga, the list goes on. Cotto, Margarita.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
How long
are
you going to have that kind of resume, man? Seriously.
You never know. You know, he's still young. That might spark something, you know? Look, Tevin Farmer, champion right now. What, he got 5 losses?
I'm not sure that this child has that type of mentality. Especially when, well, like you said, he's young, so maybe he'll grow. He'll definitely grow out of it, maybe with the team around him. But I don't see that maturity level in him yet. But, you know, like you say, he's young. Maybe by the time he gets a little older, looking ahead, what do you think about this rematch between Tony and Charlo? I think Charlo.
Man, we ain't getting that rematch no time soon.
You don't think so?
Nope. Cuz, man, think about it. He a champion. right? He gonna have to pull a Keith Thurman. He gonna have to get him a warm up fight, test that injury, and then go into the rematch. He can't. No, you ain't gonna play yourself like that. You gotta have more respect for Charlo than that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you beat him, but I ain't stupid either. I ain't gonna go in there no 70%, 75%. You know what I'm saying? And that's off his ankle. You know what I'm saying? That's your balance and you being able to plant, push off, possess power to evade punches, to slip. Hey, your legs is a lot. It'd be a little different if he might have had a hand injury or arm or shoulder or elbow. But your legs, man, that's something that you definitely got to make sure that's good, man. Because if you ain't got your legs, man, you ain't got nothing.
Jeff Horn, before I bring Mr. Dinkins in, went from, you know, the I guess you want to say the proverbial golden boy down to now no one knows where the hell he actually is going to be. Do you think Jeff Horn is going to be able to get his career back on track, or do you think his best times are behind?
Yeah, man, he can get his career back on track because for one, I think he was killing himself going down in those weights. Now he's moving up towards 160 now, which I think will be better for him as far as stamina. He already had a lot of stamina, so just imagine he ain't got to kill himself to get down the weight. You know what I'm saying? So I think, hey, the 160-pound division, he got a country behind him. So when you got a country behind you like that, trust me, he'll be a player. Trust me, he'll be a Triple G opponent on the zone.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you, they'll be bringing him back to the state. I'm telling you.
So is there any news that you have that we should catch up on before I bring Mr. Dinkins on?
News? I would say no news, just rumors, just little rumors about different fights. What's going on with Danny Garcia, was going to be his next opponent, because it seems that Mikey is going in a different direction. So we're not going to get that Garcia Mexico versus Puerto Rico fight. I was kind of looking forward to that fight. I really wanted to see that fight. But it seems that he's might be going back with Uncle Bob. Going back with Bob Arum and try to cook up that Lomachenko fight. Have you heard about that, JJ?
I heard about, like you say, I heard about the rumors, and I was kind of like you, I was hoping for the Puerto Rico versus Mexico fight. I thought that would have been, I mean, that, hey, you could do that anywhere. You could do that in L.A., Vegas, New York. It doesn't matter. It's going to put butts in seats, and you're going to have a good showing on press conferences, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, I was definitely looking forward to that fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Lomachenko sounds pretty interesting too. I mean, but you know, I think, to my mind, the Garcia versus Garcia fight would have been a much better crowd pleaser and a much better to see.
Yeah, because it's one Danny. Danny. Yes, Danny. You know, Angel Garcia is going to show out.
See, you know, hey. So, yeah, I was kind of, you know, disappointed that didn't take place. But, you know,
breaking up a little bit, JK.
Speaking of Canelo, who do you think he's going to fight on September the 14th?
I'm telling you, man. He's going to mess around and get Triple G3. I'm telling you.
Don't do that, man. Come on. Now, not September
I don't
14th.
Want it. Trust me. I don't want it. But that's just the way it's looking. That's just the way it's looking. I don't see if. I'm telling you, if Canelo made the boo-boo fight, I would take my hat off to him, like, for real. Like, that'll be it. I'll be a 1,000% Canelo fan then. Like, that's it. Ain't no turning back. I mean, I like him, but I'm not, like, a diehard Canelo fan. I'm telling you, if he fight boo-boo September, that's it. It's over. he get all my respect right there, because that is a very challenging fight.
Well, hey, I don't think that he'll fight Boo Boo. You know, I'm thinking somewhere softer, like you said. But I think what we're going to have to do. Is we're going to have to get Jonathan Banks on the show and just see. I mean, I know he's not going to answer any questions, of course, you know, whether it's happened or not, but just kind of see where his head is at, and maybe we can, you know, kind of have a little bit of insight anyway. Can you hold down the fort for a minute? I got to get Mr. Dinkins. I'm going to merge him in from my line.
Well, we had a nice announcement over the weekend with Tyson Fury coming out with his fight date. One on October 5th with the Big Baby Miller. And they're still deciding on the location. Most likely, I think it might be in New York. But I can't wait for that fight. And the second fight date will be the rematch, February 22nd, Deontay Bronze Bomber Wilder. It's going down. It is definitely going down. So you better strap on your seatbelt, because I'm telling you, this press tour for Big Baby Miller and the Gypsy King is going to be two smack-talking WWE, matter of fact, WWF and NWA back in the day wrestling type of trash talking for that press tour. So you better tune in, because we're going to have a big heavyweight clash, and we will have Deontay Wilder also defending his title in his rematch versus Luis Ortiz. We're just waiting for the date and the location, but we also know the second rematch.
Well, I do have Mr. Dinkins on the line, and he's in the midst of packing, but we're going to talk a little boxing in the midst of that. Mr. Dinkins, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Doing fine out here enjoying this Lancaster weather. It's a beautiful night. How's everybody doing?
Hey, doing great. Doing great. I'm down here in San Diego, so I'm enjoying it too.
Okay. We got the champ on tonight?
No, the champ's not on, but we do have the professor here. And,
okay. Well, that's good enough.
You had some things happen since the last time we talked to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your gentleman was in the ring. You want to tell us a little bit about that and what's been happening since the last time we had you on?
Yeah, we got a great opportunity coming up. We're going to Baltimore. We're going to fight on the undercard of the Tank Davis title fight. So it's a big opportunity for us. We're fighting a guy from that area, so we know what we have to do. We're fighting a guy by the name of Malik Warren. It's his debut. He's supposed to be one of those top amateur fighters back there on the East Coast. So we know our job is to let the judges sit this one out.
There you go. There you go. What weight class is this again, and what's your fighter's name?
Yeah, his name is Devontae McCowan. Call him Devontae D. Mac McCowan, and he's 130 pounds. That's the maximum for this fight. He's a junior lightweight, and he's been working hard in the gym. He keeps his weight under control pretty much. He probably weighs about 32 or 33 right now. And the fight is not until the 27th, so we're in great shape, man. We're running like animals. Well, I should say he's running like an animal out there. But we're going in with the attitude that this guy is a world champ, and hopefully he'll get crazy in front of his hometown audience and want to make it a war. That's what we would like to do.
Okay, all right. We were talking about some of the different fights that. We've seen some that are being scheduled, and the one that comes to my mind, of course, is Canelo talking about meeting Boo Boo on September the 14th. But the professor says that we might as well strap down for Triple G Canelo number 3. what do you think? And do you want to see Triple G Canelo 3?
No, I don't. No, are you talking to me or the professor?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay. Oh no, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a third one. But I think what Canelo's going to do is he's going to sit back and let Boo Boo Andrade the guy from New York that he just beat, Danny Jacobs. And Charlo, I think he's going to let those brothers sort it out. They're going to give him about another 18 months before he has to fight any of those guys.
Whoa. 18. you and the professor seem to be kind of on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he'll probably fight Cavallo before that. Kovalev.
Okay. What about these last fights that we saw? We saw both Charlos back to back. One get the knockout, and the other one, the guy that won the contender, Mr. Adams, he took him the distance. What did you think about those two performances? And I'm not sure whether it was the professor or Canine was saying, this guy was just tough. I'm talking about the guy.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, yeah.
It seemed like
when the Charles fight, man, it seemed like there's always something going on, some kind of funny stuff going on. It's almost like when Andre Durrell fights, you can almost always expect something to go on. Now, this fight, he tried too hard to knock Brandon out. I mean, he's a seasoned pro now. He shouldn't be doing that. I don't care whether you're home or not. I mean, he made himself look bad by all the punches he was missing, as far as he's concerned. And the other fight, the guy tore his tricep or bicep or something. So, I mean, it's not like he legitimately knocked the guy out. That guy's arm looked terrible. And he just wasn't able to fight. But, I'm not overwhelmed by these guys, man. I really am not.
Professor, you want to chime in there, Professor?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with them. I mean, they're good, but they're not great.
Right.
You know, and it's funny he said that because I think I thought that analogy before. I'm like, it's like Andre Terrell. He's not lying. Like, that is really true. Every time they fight, you're going to expect, like, put it like this. Every time they fight, especially if they fight tough composition,
right,
it's like
right.
It's going to be some type of controversy or something.
Yeah. A coach jumping up in the ring and trying to fight somebody is always something with those people, man.
The professor also brought out a good point. You know, this is something that we rarely see. Ronnie Shields had more to say about the fight than his fighter. Ronnie's usually kind of, you know, laid back and except when he's doing his job.
Right.
But what is a coach or trainer trying to do, from your standpoint, since you would be Ronnie? I mean, what is the point? I mean, is that because you don't feel that your fighter has proven himself, or is that because, what's your explanation that trainer to fight?
I think that Ronnie, he was telling Trello to calm down, you know, quit trying to knock this guy out. You know, that's what he was basically telling Trello. But Trello, he's kind of bullheaded, man, and his mind was made up. I'm going to get him up out of here. And that guy, I think if he had pressed a little more, he probably would be. I mean, he landed a few good shots, but, he was pretty much in a survival mode. But Charlo was just trying too hard, man, just trying too hard to knock the guy out. I mean, you don't have to knock everybody out. I mean, some guys are not there to go to sleep. They're there to go to distance. And some fighters just don't seem to understand that. I tell my kids that sometimes, too. And we went to gym court over at Maywood Boxing on Saturday. And see, they have a lot of Mexicans over there outside. When we walked in the room, man, those Mexicans get an erection, because there's not many black fighters come over that side of town. So we walk in and I say, look, we're not in here to have any wars, but we're not in here to get beat up either. So we pretty much want to dance to the music they play. And my boy, he controls himself, and when they want to try to turn it up, we do the same thing because we're trying to get our 6 or 8 rounds in of good hard work. But, it's sparring, it's not a fight.
I guess that might be depend on where you're at. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm from Philly. I'm from Philly, so I know what that is.
Bronx gym, and down there, the boys down there. In Washington, I don't know.
Mayweather gets like that, too.
We were talking about that some of the other fights that might be coming into play, and Jabron, while we were gone, you mentioned some to our audience. Any of those you'd like to talk about with Mr. Dinkins?
Sure. I mean, as he was getting on the phone, I was ended it with the fight dates that Tyson Fury came out and announced over the weekend, which is October 5th with Big Baby Miller, and then February 22nd with the rematch with Deontay Wilder. So what's your thoughts
really?
On those? And Deontay fight is, already sealed with Luis Ortiz, the rematch. So what's your thoughts on that round table of heavyweight action?
Well, now Miller, he's the one who had a drug problem, right? isn't that the guy? I mean, has he been cleared to fight?
He'd be cleared after September. After September, he's good to go.
Man, I don't know. It seems like once those guys start that mess, they never stop it completely. And I just have my doubts about that fight even coming off. As far as Wilder and Peter, I don't see any. I mean, not Peters, Ortiz. I don't really see a big reason for that. I mean, he had a decent fight, decent couple of rounds with Wilder, but I think this time Wilder going to do the same thing to him that he did to Severn. I think he's going to stop him early this time. That's my opinion.
I don't know. They're saying they're getting back to the basics, you know, in Wilder's camp. I don't know, man. Is this that seasoned veteran southpaw Cuban style, man? Is this hard to go in there and knock them out real quick? What Cubans, you know, them been knocked out fast? They might lose. They ain't saying they don't lose, but they're knocked out fast.
Well, if I look at what they call Ortiz's last fight, I don't even know who the guy was, but when I looked at him, he seemed like he has regressed since he fought Wilder. And, I mean, these guys getting older, not younger. I don't see him, you know, I just don't see him doing any better than he did before, or I don't even see him doing as well. Maybe I'm overstating the fact that I think he'll knock him out quick, but I don't think it's going to be as competitive as it was the last time. Just like with Severn, I mean, he went 12 rounds the first time, and look what happened to him the second round. I mean, I just don't see it getting any better for Ortiz.
Well, the story of Ortiz, yeah, closely, and he's one of these type of fighters, and I know it probably kills trainers to have a fighter like this, but he's a fighter that fights up to his competition. You know, he don't get up.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. I've had fighters like that.
Fight. You see what he did to when he got the opportunity to fight Brian Jennings, he went in there and destroyed him. Then when he fought other lesser opponents, it was like,
right, yeah.
But then he got the opportunity to fight Wilder, and it's like, yo, I'm sharp. I'm in here. Look, he was boxing good. He was up on the cards before he got knocked out. So, you know, he's that type of fighter. He fights up to his competition.
Well, that could be true. I mean, you know, it happens a lot. That's for sure. I guess like anything else, only time will tell. I just don't see the old man getting any younger. Don't see him getting any better.
But you being in his shoes, right, Luis Ortiz, you don't think every night he think about that fifth round? No, what was it, the seventh round?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You don't think he think about that every night, what I could have done different, and I would have knocked him out. I would have got him out of there.
Yeah, so, but you know what the thing is? Go ahead.
He's going to be motivated going into that camp. And he's been busy. It ain't like he's been on the shelf. He already done fought twice this year.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but you know, he's going to hang his hat on that one round. That reminds me of when Pacquiao fought that Jeff Jones or whatever that guy's name down in Australia. He kept talking about the round. He had that guy pretty much out on his feet. But that's all he had to hang his hat on. And if Ortiz is going to be thinking about that one round, he's going to have a problem because that one round may never happen again.
Yeah, but I look at the Pacquiao circumstances different. You got to realize, that dude a light heavyweight. After that dude retired, he was like 175 pounds.
I know.
So you know, Pacquiao eat all the way through camp and fight night, he's still like 146 pounds. Like, come on. Big guy, man, leaning on him. Like, come on, man. And that was like a tug of war type of fight. It wasn't like the ref was allowing Jeff Horn to, like, wrestle.
Right.
You think if he had an American, a ref that's going to let him do all that wrestling he did?
I know it, man.
His body on him. So that kind
ball,
of circumstance
that
is a little
kind of stuff, sure.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, sometimes in the gym, like a lot of you hear a lot of fighters when they're training for a fight, they say, oh, man, when I'm sparring, I spar with guys. I'm a welterweight, but I spar with light heavyweight. And I said, well, what is the purpose of that? I don't understand it. You know, what about, he said, because the guy's bigger and stronger, man, you get used to. I said, what fighter wants to get used to somebody bigger, stronger, beating on them and somebody that they can't hurt? I said, I would never, ever understand that. I said, I let my boy go 2 weight classes up, and that's about it. So we're not trying to see how many times we can get hit by those bigger guys, unless it's somebody who knows how to work with the smaller fighter. But I know what you're saying. I just say that to say that about this mauling and grappling and all this stuff against a guy who's outweighing you about 15 or 25 pounds. It makes a big difference. You spend your whole night just fighting this guy off you, you know, not trying to hit him.
JK, you there? We don't want to leave you out. You falling asleep, like K-9 say, you falling asleep on us?
No, it's interesting when you talk to somebody that actually trains a fighter, you know, than us kind of back is speculating because, you know, I mean, it does seem like, you know, a lot of fighters are proud of the fact, you know, like, you know, I spar with big guys and things like that. And we hear it a lot on the show. And, you know, not being a trainer or somebody that's in the gym every day, I've always thought, you know, kind of the same thing. Well, you know, why would I want somebody bigger than me and they're punching me in my head, you know, all day? I mean,
that you can't hurt.
You know, so, you know, I mean, but, you know, maybe there was a point to it. So it's kind of, you know, when I just sit back and hear a trainer say, well, I wouldn't let my fighter do that, then, you know, I got to kind of listen to him, you know, well, why not? When so many other fighters, you know, and trainers say, well, yeah, we do such and such and such and such, you know. But, but like he says, he puts a limit on it, maybe 2 weight classes up or whatever. And that was something that I don't think we've ever heard on the program. Have you, Jerome?
No. But while you were talking, I was just sitting here thinking, because, you know, I always be trying to think outside the box. Maybe it could be, and I'm just speculating, it could be for a psychological thing where they feel like they going in there against these big dudes. So when it comes to a fight, it's like, man, I ain't fearing nothing. Man, I be in there with these big dudes. So it's like more of a mental thing. You get what I'm saying?
You know what? I think that could have a detrimental effect, though, because if you go in there and you say, okay, man, I know this guy's not going to hurt me because those bigger guys can't hurt me. And I think you might throw caution to the wind and maybe take more punch than you need to take. You know, it's
that's
just like that's the way I look at it. You know, and a lot of it depends on your fighter. You have to, if you have a fighter who is, say, a brawler, some guys will fight everybody the same way. You take a brawler and put him in there with guys 20, 25 pounds bigger than they are, and they try to do the same thing. It's a problem. So my guy is primarily he's a boxer. He's a boxer first and then a puncher, you know. And I have seen him get in there. One time I let him spar with this guy. His name was Sims. He's like 165 pounds. I think he's a champion now. Anyway, we sparred with him, and my boy stung him twice, you know. And I seen him when he grabbed my boy and looked over at his trainer like he was saying, hey, man, I ain't going to let this little nigga hit on me like that. And some guys will do that stuff, and they'll straighten you out because they don't want the little guy to be popping up on them like that. So it's like, you know, if it's somebody in your gym that knows how to work with your fighter, that's okay, you know, that's okay. But say if you go to some other gym and guys like, I'm not letting this little dude come in here and get off on me. So I think it just all depends on the people that's involved.
Yeah, you're right. And on the show last week, we was talking to a fighter, and I asked him a question about sparring a woman and what is his mentality in the ring while sparring a woman. In a sense, you understand you're trying to work and help, you know, help her out. But what if you get buzzed? Get stung. What is your reaction? Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah. Well, my fighter's been in that position because there was a girl at our gym. Her name is Paula Estrada. she's the daughter of the guy who runs the gym. He's in Irby Estrada is a matchmaker in this area. But to make a long story short, he would always ask, hey, Don, can D-Mac work with my daughter, man? Because he hasn't had any sparring. She just, and then I'll say, I don't know, man. I said, I don't know if he can pull everything off of her like that. It's kind of, you know, and then I went over there and I talked to him, and he said, oh, Coach, he said, if you want me to, I will. But he said, I don't really want to work with her. I don't want to spar with those girls. And so finally he did get up there because she came over there and asked, I just want this little work, man, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so he got up there, and she's a southpaw. She, like, weighed about 108 pounds, you know, like a little, she's like a damn cricket up there. I mean, she's throwing these little flurries, and she's switching up, and she's dropping my hands and trying to be cute. And my boy's doing everything he can not to hit her, you know. So it didn't serve any purpose as far as I was concerned, and we never spar with her again. I don't like to spar when we're not getting something out of the deal.
That's very interesting there, because, as you said, I think that was the first male that we had talked to that was kind of put in that position. I think that was the reason why the professor asking that of the first fighter that we had had on the show that actually sparred. Speaking back of you know, what when you say sparring is not fighting, sparring is a learning process.
Right.
How do you, with the action going on, I know it's not like, you know, supposedly not you know, full speed or whatever, but how do you, you know, as a trainer, what do you get out of watching your fighter spar? I mean, what is the intent and purpose rather than him working up a sweat?
Well, it depends on a lot of times. It depends on if we have a fight coming up, you know, in the near future, and say we know the guy's style and everything like that, and we got guys in the gym that we can work with. I say, okay, with this guy, man, you're gonna have to box a little more from the outside, you know, because this guy makes a lot of mistakes when he's fighting that distance. He leaves his jab out there, you know, or he doesn't bring his jab back, you know, this sort of thing. And these are the things we try to capitalize on when we're sparring with somebody, you know, when they're in sparring with somebody. And I tell my guy, look, man, we're going to work this guy pretty hard today. Like, for the next 2 weeks, we have two weeks of boxing now, because we'll probably leave on the 24th or something like that. The fight's on the 27th. So the next 2 weeks, I told the other coaches, look, man, we want hard work this week. We want 2 weeks of hard sparring, and then we can start to taper off. So to the next 2 weeks, we're going to be boxing hard. You know, we box hard. It's almost like no matter what.
If you're, you know, standing around in Gleason's and you see a couple guys sparring, I mean, you know, professional, maybe one guy getting for a professional fight, as a fan, what do you look for?
What, two professionals or, like, two amateurs?
Two professionals.
I'm a fan of, like, little stuff. So I'm looking at, like, their foot movement and how they position their feet and when they're throwing certain punches, like little nuances like that. Like, me as a student of the game, I'll be looking at little stuff like that, you know, like tendencies, like certain things that, well, you know, when he throw this punch, he always stepped his right leg out like this first. Like, little nuances like that I look at. I don't look so far as, like, the action and who getting hit and this and that. I look at little technical stuff, you know, when I'm looking at, like, professionals. Because, you know, they going to get hit. They, you know, they going to miss. They going to get hit. But the little nuances I look at. That's just me as a fan and a student of the game. I look at little small details.
And you'll see things that goes, oh man, he can't do that in the fight. You know, little subtle things like that. You say, man, if he does that in the fight, he's gonna get hurt. Yeah. you know, I understand exactly what you're saying. And it's like some fighters in the gym, so if, you know, that they get a nut knocking people out in the gym. And I can mention a couple I've seen do it. Like Michael Dokes used to knock people out in the gym at 108th and Broadway like it was nothing. And Jeremy Williams is the same way. They get a kick out of knocking people out, you know. And, I mean, he tried to knock my middleweight out. Jeremy Williams was a light heavyweight Olympic champion, you know. But those guys just do that, man. And then they get in a fight. It's, a lot of times they're just as reckless. And then you see them get flattened a lot of times. Like when Jeremy Williams fought Peters, I think it was. Remember when Peters knocked him out and his leg was quivering on the floor? He jumped up Peters the same way, you know. And Michael Dokes, you see him in wars. And then because, see, the thing is this. It's like if you have to have a pace. Like if a runner is running at top speed of the whole time, if he has to go to a next level, he has no next level because he's used to fighting at the top level all the time. And I see guys in the gym do that. They wear themselves out, you know, and then when the time gets tough, they don't have any place else to go. Like I tell my boy all the time, I say, it's like if you're running, you know, running is one thing, but if you're running and a dog is behind you, you're going to have to run a little faster, you know. And if you're at your top speed, what you going to do after that? And I see guys burn themselves out like that, man. They just fight like they fall like it's a fight. And I tell my boy, look, man, if he goes out too hard in the first round, I'll tell him, D-Mac, look, I want 6 rounds today. All right? I want 6 rounds, so you better get a comfortable pace. If you think he's going to go out here and fight at that pace, then you're going to still do 6-8 rounds. So it makes the fighter say, okay, well, if I got to go that far, I better think more about what I'm doing instead of just trying to get this guy out of here, you know. But they are fighters with that mentality, man. They say, I'm in here to win this. I'm telling my boy, I said, you don't win sparring sessions. Nobody's going to pay you, and nobody's giving you a trophy even for winning a sparring session. I say, the only way you lose in the ring is when you don't learn something. You know, that's the whole thing. I told my boy, the worst fighter in the world can teach you something, even if it's to teach you what not to do. Because he used to hate to spar with guys who were like lesser fighters. But then I said, no, man, this gives you a chance to build your confidence up in things that you want to try against the better guys. Because now you see things work and you know how to perfect them. And then when you're in the ring with a better fighter, it comes natural. If you don't try it against people, you're going to be literally reluctant to try it against the upper class fighter. So I said, you can make this work for you. I said, use this guy. Use him for rounds to begin with and use him to work on things.
I have a guy that we represent on Team Certified, and he actually did really good in the fight, but he ended up with an L. And the reason why he ended up with an L wasn't because he wasn't a good fighter. The fact was that he won the first round, and then he stood back the rest of the time firing his work.
Yeah. Did he drop the guy in the first round or something? Did he hurt him?
He hurt him. But both of them were undefeated. One guy was the guy that ended up winning the fight. He was 3-0, and the kid was 2-0. But he's under the lights in Las Vegas, first four-rounder, and he took too much time admiring his work, and he ended up losing the fight. What do you do with a young fighter like that when you know that he has the potential, but he's too much concentrating on playing to the crowd than he is on performing his craft?
Yeah. In our debut, which is in April, I think I mentioned that my boy had only had like 4 amateur fights, and he only won one. You know, in fact, they didn't even want to let him fight because his amateur career was so brief. And not only that, but his last amateur fight was almost 2 years prior to his debut. So we were fighting a guy who was a Ukrainian champion. This guy was like, he had like 45 or 55 fights, something in that area. He was a really, really top amateur. So when we took the fight, we were brought in as an opponent. Because the guy, Ken Thompson Boxing, they were taking a hard look at this guy, this Ukrainian. They figured this Ukrainian, with his experience and all that, and used to fight without a headgear, he was going to walk right through my fighter, you know. And he came out there, and my boy, there was some skepticism even from me, because this was his first fight without the headgear, the first fight with the little gloves in front of a crowd like this, and I didn't even know, you know, I needed some questions answered. So he went out there, and he was a little tentative in the first round, but my boy can box. You know, he can really, really box. He's a slick boxer, you know. He made the guy miss a lot of punches, but he got too comfortable making the guy miss the punches and wasn't working off of it. And so when he came back, and I said, look, when he came back to the corner, I said, look, man, look, you look good. You settled in there. You're a pro now. Okay, you're a pro now. I said, now you made this guy miss. Now we got to do something about this. You know, so we went up there, and then he got, then became aggressive, you know, and then he ended up really taking control of the fight. And then, as a matter of fact, in the last round, just as the bell rang, my boy hit with a left hook and a right hand, and the guy dropped his hands and buckled, and the bell rang. I mean, the crowd was on their feet, man. It was the first fight of the night, and everybody later told me that it was the best fight of the night. Even the guy was doing like TV commentating, and so when they get ready to score, they gave the first score to the guy. And then they gave it to them, and everybody booed it. And then the next two, they made it a draw. So the fight itself was a draw. And so when I talked to the guy's coach after that, he said, Don, I'm telling you, man, I had no idea we were going to have that much problem with your fighter. He said, that's all I'm going to say about that. So it was, and then my boy realized at the end of the fight, he said, Coach, I had a lot left. You know, I could have done, I could have. I said, D-Max, it's okay. It's all right. Now you know. Now you know you can fight hard the whole four rounds. So now, and so he started running hard. You know, he was doing okay, but now he's so fired up. You know, he's running, you know, running twice as hard as he was before, boxing harder in the gym. But because now he knows what I can do as a professional. And we tried to get a rematch with that guy already, and they wouldn't even take it. So now he knows. Like when we go, like I said, when we go back to Maryland, we know this guy is from D.C. He's in a tank stable. So we know this guy. You know, we know what we have to do to this guy. Period. I say you want to jump on this guy from the start. You can't go out there feeling him out and checking him out and this and that. You got to go out there and hit him with something and let him know this is not the amateur partner. That's what you have to let him know. Because I'm sure they're just looking at your record as one fight and a draw at that and think how tough can you be? So this is our big stage. This is our coming out party. I say the fight may be televised. If it is, I want you guys to make sure you watch it at night. Watch all the fights. You may see us out there.
Hey, you know, if I know if it's on Dan's
Showtime.
Showtime, I'll definitely mm-hmm. be right. I'll be in front of the TV. No,
good.
You know, we out here on the West Coast. So,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
We don't have to stay up late to watch.
Exactly.
So we're all right. Mm-hmm. Ron, did you go to sleep on me back there? You all right?
Nah, they'll probably have the fight on the Showtime YouTube app. I mean, on the Showtime YouTube page. Because normally, those prelims, they put it on the YouTube.
Yeah. Okay.
So
now, the Showtime, the one that have Showbox? Because sometimes they have Showbox that show the preliminary sometimes early.
Yeah, Showbox
okay.
Next year. Right? Yeah. That's
okay. Yeah, so I'm hoping they're trying to... They're trying to push him from that town, you know, so hopefully we'll get that break.
Well, you know, and a lot of times they have quick knockouts, you know,
mm-hmm.
so the preliminaries too. But like you said, you can always catch it on Showtime here.
Right.
YouTube. You can catch it.
Right.
Professor, you got some fights you'd like to discuss with Mr. Dinkins? Some of the upcomers, I've already talked to. Oh, Gamboa is coming back in the ring. What do you guys think about Gamboa coming back in the ring on the undercard?
He's fighting. Yeah, he's fighting that card we're fighting on.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So we're on a big card, man. Yeah, he's fighting that night.
Yeah, because they are trying to push the Tank Davis Gamboa fight in December. That's why they got him on the undercard.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gamboa, man, I haven't seen a fight yet where he hasn't gotten hurt or knocked down in. I mean, when he first started out, he was a heavy-handed fighter, but he was reckless as hell, you know. I'll take whatever it takes to get my shots off, and he always get picking himself up off the floor. So Davis will run right through him.
Right. That's why I understand, man. Like, it's fights out there, and it's like they keep putting them on the shelf and
mm-hmm.
putting them in there with
nobody. Yeah, and sometimes, like, look at Shakur Stevenson. Even though his two opponents fell out, I mean, that's not his fault. But, you know, it's something, man, if an opponent falls out and they know ahead of time, give us something decent, man. Because there was just a fight on not too long ago. I don't even remember who it was. It might have been that fight with Charlo, that guy they brought in there to replace Harrison. I mean, that guy was not that good a fighter, man. I mean, you know, give us something a little better than that. Even if it's to pay somebody something, give it to somebody that at least looks like he's saying some kind of chance. I hate those mismatches.
Yeah, no, I think they had enough time to find a
sure.
better one.
Mm-hmm. And people might say, well, you say you hate mismatches, but, you know, you might find a top professional and it might end up in one round. You know, one round or two rounds. Look at Tyson, you take a Tyson and Spinks, you know, top fighters. Boom, 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 fight's over. I mean, so, you know, you can look at it several different ways, but I don't want to see a fight dragged out, period, when, you know, when it's not competitive.
Man, I'm sorry to put a break in the action, but we all know that fight was over when you seen Michael Spinks' face when he walked out to the ring. You knew the fight was over. I was a
yeah.
kid, but when I saw his face, I was like, this dude is
mm-hmm.
not going to beat Tyson.
I think when he went to the Tyson fight prior to that, he said, way up in the back somewhere so nobody could see him.
He just looked scared. Like, he ain't look convincing
yeah, he
at
did.
All.
I know. It's like, don't just don't hurt me too bad, Mike. It's almost like Sonny Liston beating on Floyd Patterson. Poor Floyd's like, just get this shit over with. You know, just don't kill me. You know I can't win. And boom, 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 down he goes. And Michael Spinks is the same way, man. Just get this thing over with. He wasn't the first one I've seen approach the ring with Tyson with fear in his eye. I've seen a couple of them like that. Go ahead.
We do have the Keith Thurman Manny Pacquiao fight coming up. Have you guys had the chance to catch any of the action leading up to the fight, like the face off, I'm always call it 24/7. I don't care what if it's on Fox or whatever. Have you seen other 24/7 footage?
Yeah, I haven't. Okay,
I definitely have. I watched it all. I mean. You know, it kind of seems funny to me that Keith Thurman is the one that seems that he has to go on the offensive. All he has to do is let his gloves be foreign. I know he's not, or at least I feel, that he's not one-time Thurman anymore, and I think that's why Pacquiao picked him. But I think it's going to be a very competitive fight. I really like the build up to it, but I'm not sure if I'm buying what Keith Thurman's selling.
What my take on it is that I think Pacquiao is going to beat Thurman. To me, see, Thurman doesn't like that heavy lifting, man. And I've seen him in too many fights where when the time gets hard, he's backing up all over the ring. And I can see Manny pressuring him and fans booing one time because you said he's not one time anymore. Well, since his competition got better, this dude hasn't scored a knockout in I don't know how long. It's been a minute since he scored a knockout. And I just think back to the fights that he had. Every fight he had, I can think where somebody hit it with one or two good shots and he would break camp, you know, kind of like Danny Jacobs. Even back when he fought Collazo, I think it was, hit it with a body shot and folded him up like a damn beach chair. And you wouldn't see him for two rounds, you know. And then, like this last guy, who I knew was a good fighter, because I've seen him fight enough times, I knew he was going to give Thurman problems. But I mean, you know, he gave Thurman more problems than he should have. If he's getting ready for a Pacquiao, because I think Pacquiao going to be in his chest all night.
Yeah, from watching the footage, I see a lot of like nervous energy from Keith
mm-hmm.
Thurman.
Yeah.
Watching the 24/7, the footage and all that, it seemed like there's a lot of nervous energy, especially when they did the face-off. And Manny
mm-hmm.
was just staring at him like,
yeah,
like so composed, like, man, I've been through this plenty of times, and
right,
you ain't going to say
right.
nothing that's going to faze me.
Right.
And it's like, you just
that's
try
right.
to throw the fight, go right ahead. But it's like
mm-hmm.
he trying to intimidate Manny, and Manny is
yeah.
just like not cracking.
Right, and it's like he's trying to convince himself, you know, trying to talk himself into something. I think, man, he's not, like you say, man, he's not thinking about that nonsense you're talking. When the bell rings, we're going to see about all of this. you know, period. Like Broner talked about what he's going to do and then ran for 12 rounds. I don't think Keith will run quite that much, but I still can't see him winning. I just don't see him winning this fight. I don't think he can beat Manny on points. If it's close, I know what it's going to be like.
Oh, no. Ooh, that's a tough one.
If at the end of 12 rounds, Manny Pacquiao is still standing,
that's where I'm coming from, too.
He might need crutches to stand in the corner, but if he's standing up after that fight, you talk about, you know, what would be, next for Triple G and Canelo. What happens if Keith Thurman loses a fight? I mean, I understand, like I said, you know, and I've said it many times, I think he's in a lose-lose situation.
Mm-hmm.
If he loses, he beat the old man.
I know what you're saying.
If he loses, he got beat by a Hall of Famer. If he wins, he beat then he beat up an old man.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I mean, he'll be good going to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what's that going to do for his fans? And like you brought up, Professor, it's that nervous energy. It's like he's trying to convince himself that he can beat Manny Pacquiao, not that he's going into the ring thinking that he can beat Manny Pacquiao. He's psyching himself up to beat Manny Pacquiao. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's a really bad mindset. I mean, it's like a soldier going into battle, you know, like thinking, well, maybe I might not come back home, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably won't, you know. I'm not saying, you know, the odds make are any difference, but it does make, you know, a difference when you have that confidence in any type of combat situation, at least. That's what's worked for me. I don't know, you know, maybe it doesn't work for everybody. But that's,
mm-hmm.
What do you think, Professor? You tell us what you think about that.
What's the question?
The mental mindset that he's going into the fight, you know, trying to psych himself up in there.
Nah, that's definitely not good. But you were saying if he's like in a lose-lose situation. Well, I think if he wins, it's going to be more pressure on him because that Earl fight.
That's what I was going to say next, too.
It's going to be so much pressure because you know he got a lot of energy for everybody except Earl. Like, when you bring up Danny Garcia or Sean Porter, he like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? We had a good fight, you know.
Right.
But I had my business, did what I had to do. I'll get him a rematch, you know. It's no problem that you bring up Earl, he'd be like, well, you know.
Yeah.
You know, this is my get back year, and you know I gotta shake off the rust. Be like, hold up,
yeah, let the fight.
Talking about how you beat up Manny Pacquiao and you fight Sean Porter again and Danny again, but you bring up Earl, he like you talking to him in the library. He be like, well, you know, his energy is totally different when it comes to Earl, so pressure will be on him if he beat Manny Pacquiao, especially in spectacular fashion. They could be like, oh, you one time, you back, then you need to go in there and fight Earl. You back.
Yep.
What do you think about that, JK?
But you know what? On the other hand, Earl is almost like that about Crawford, too. You know, he just recently started talking back about Crawford. Before it was like, oh, he's on the other side of the street and this and that and the other thing, you know. And now he's starting to say a little bit. He said, man, I'm going to watch him when we fight, you know, this and that and the other. But it seemed like somebody must have said, hey, look, man, you've got to start saying something because this isn't about, you know, y'all can't fight. The public's not going to accept that.
No.
But
no,
I think
the public going to be just fine. The public going to just be fine when it comes to Earl because you know why? He got other belts on his side of the street. He ain't got to worry about why he got to call out Crawford. Why? When he can go and fight Keith Thurman, he can fight Sean, which he about to fight Sean Porter. He can fight Danny Garcia. He just fought Mikey Garcia on pay-per-view and did pay-per-view numbers in one fight than Crawford did in two pay-per-views. So
who do you want to see him fight? Who do you want to see him fight, Professor? Yeah.
Oh, I love for him to fight Crawford, but my thing was he don't have to go chasing Crawford because
I understand.
Think about this. Crawford has one belt, right? Now, on Earl's side of the street, there's three belts. So if I get these three belts and get these three bags of money and walk to that Crawford fight with three belts on my shoulder, who's the A side in that fight? You get what I'm saying?
So it's about playing chess
and not checkers.
Yeah, I know. I think, you know, from the old school view, you know, the viewer thing, you know, he's supposed to be the supreme killer, you know. And I mean, go get the best guy out there. We know you're going to beat up on what's the name on this other guy, Porter. You know you're going to beat up on him. Nobody want to see you fight. Nobody want to see you fight
really
Danny Garcia.
That? Hold up, wait a minute.
Oh.
We really know that? We know that he's going to beat
Sean
Porter?
Oh, man. You know what? This is what I say. When I saw Sean Porter's last fight, he acted like he didn't know how he's supposed to fight Ugas. Now, if he going to try to all of a sudden be a boxer and fight Earl Spence, he's going to get walked down until he gets knocked out. And with little light punches of his, and he's going to trade punches with Earl, I just don't see how he can win. I don't see how he can possibly beat
that's
Spence.
That's a different fight. You think he's going to keep the same style going into the next fight? You think he's going to fight like he fought Ugas in the
Ugas
fight?
Well, Ugas is not the—he's not the punching threat that Spence is. So what's he gonna do? He gonna run away from Ugas and trade punches with Spence? I don't think so.
No, because he was trying to add more kinks to his armor. Because what was people saying before? Oh, all he do is pressure. He won a fight by boxing. And people still complain. But the thing was,
so he almost lost that fight.
But he broke his hand in the fight.
Well, from a trainer's point of view, nobody cares. You know, when the fight's on, nobody cares about that. You know, if they don't stop the fight, nobody cares. Like that guy when he fought Charlo. I mean, he got out of his fight because he had a torn bicep. If he'd have fought with that injury, who cares? You know, guys always talk about what happened in camp. I don't want to make any excuses, but this and but that. Man, if the bell rings, if you answer the bell, you're ready to fight, period. Because your opponent doesn't care. It's like I tell my fighters all the time, too. If I had a fighter say he could, hey, man, I didn't know I was going to spar today, man, because last night I was doing this and I was out with this girl. And I said, look, when the bell rings, go tell him that to see if he gives a damn, because I sure don't. When you're up in the ring, there's no sympathy. If he broke his hand, you know, he should have stopped. He going to get knocked out, Professor. He going to get knocked out.
I got to chime in there. I don't know. I don't think he's going to get knocked out. I think he'll make a good impression. I'm not going to say he's going to win, but I don't think he'll get knocked out.
What style do you think he's going to use? Is the Uga style or his normal style to survive?
Hold up. Wait a minute. So you trying to tell me Mikey Garcia could go 12 rounds with Earl Spence and Sean Porter King?
Okay, now, is Earl going to go in there to survive like that? If he does that, sure he can make it. If Mikey didn't go in there to win that fight.
But you said Sean Porter is going to get knocked out. So that's what I'm saying.
Let me finish that. If he fights him. If he fights his normal style of fighting, he's going to get knocked out.
Oh, okay.
I remember Bronner dropped him in the last round with one punch. What's going to get a hold of him, man? You watch. If he fights his normal fight, he's going to last 8 rounds.
But Broner's strong, man. Broner's strong.
Yeah, you don't
he
think
Spence is? He might not throw a lot of punches. He don't throw a lot
is
of punches,
strongest?
But Broner. Huh?
Is he strong as a, is he as strong as Spence? Spence going to probably weigh about 170 pounds. You know that.
Okay.
Man, he's gonna steamroll.
You act like Sean is a small guy. You act
well,
like
I've
Sean
seen him in the gym before. I've seen him in the gym sparring before. He's really short, but I mean he's kind of square. But what's the problem is Spence is almost like 5'11". I mean he's a big guy. He's much bigger than Sean is.
Yeah, they actually had their booths next to each other at the boxing expo, and you can see the difference in size.
Oh yeah.
It was quite a bit, but I don't think 8 rounds. I got no more confidence in Sean than that,
really?
Especially after the Garcia fight.
I think. Go ahead.
But getting back the Gamboa fight. You mentioned about how much punishment he's taken.
Mm-hmm.
And. I brought it up on a lot of these shows when they talk about the safety of fighters.
Well,
but then you see fighters that have taken a lot of punishment that get put in with fighters that dish out a lot more punishment than their previous opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it's all about feeding your family and all like that, but at some point, you know, can we stop talking about this BS about, the safety of fighters and like just come out with it, hey, if you make enough money, you can fight anywhere.
Yeah.
it's evidently, like you said, I mean, they're setting up Gamboa for, another fight. He's the A-side fighter this time.
Yeah.
I mean, but.
Look at Ray Beltran. Ray Beltran came into this fight. He had to lose all that weight. He lost $20,000. I mean, and then he go up there and he fought and he got beat bad. I mean, I don't know if it's a case where he just had to have the money or what, but he took a bad beating in that fight. I mean, this guy is almost 40 years old already, and this guy put a beating on him. And like you said, there's a lot of guys out there that shouldn't be fighting. I mean, they shouldn't be, at least at a certain level. But, how can you say, man, don't do it? That's your livelihood. You can't tell a guy you can't. But, sometimes I see guys out there stumbling around the ring. I see guys in the gym getting beat up sometimes, and I say, damn, man, this is crazy. I say, because this is not a fun sport. And I tell my fighter all the time, I say, look, man, the human body was not made for this. So you better take this seriously, period, and try to make it a short career. So that is no place to be joking around, man. No place to be joking around. People say, I go in there with Mike Tyson for $8 million for the last one round. I say, these fights are not scripted. This is not like the old days. You don't know how you're going to come out of there. This is not like the Wild Wild West. Somebody jack you up in the corner, and they may have to come get you out of there, as opposed to you just walking out.
See, I brought this up, and I faced about it. Controversy about this because I brought it up on my show with K-9, and K-9 is one of those fighters that's over 40. And
mm-hmm.
I was speaking about the injuries that we've seen that's happened to a lot of the fighters that are in the latter stages of their career. Now, K-9 will be fighting, I believe it's in September, during some kind of Little Wayne Festival or something like that. And
mm-hmm.
there's also rumors of Kelly Pavlik getting in the ring. So, what do you guys think about all the injuries that we've seen to these fighters within the past year, 18 months, and we have these gentlemen that are over 40 getting back in the
mm-hmm.
ring. Promoters, trainers. I mean. Don't we have to have somebody look out for these guys?
I'll wait on the professor to have that. I'll go after him.
Yeah, so have you talked to K-9?
Oh, I brought it up on the show. because I forget what fighter it was that we just had a fighter that was like 40 years old or something like that get hit and go through tremendous injury. We had Adonis Stevens. I mean, you know, it's not, you know, just him. We've got another guy that's I believe 40 years old that's going for a title. And then we have some good young fighters that are actually eligible for some of these fights. I mean, you know.
What do you think about Ortiz?
Yeah.
How old do you think he is?
Well, nobody knows. He's Cuban. He might be dying.
Right.
He don't have no wrinkles and he can still stand up. That's my point precisely. I mean, it's not like I'm not saying that these guys are all shotting over the hill and nothing like that, but like you say, this is something that the human body is not made for.
Right.
And if it's not made for when you're 20 years old.
Yep, right. That's right.
What the hell? You know, hey, there's a lot of things ache in the morning when you're 40.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, the thing is, it goes back to, like, this is my livelihood, man. This is what I do. How you going to stop me from making a living? And you can't. I mean, you got basketball players, football players. I mean, best football players suffering brain damage and shooting themselves and stuff all like that. You know, I say, hey, well, why try to stop a guy from fighting? There's a lot of ways a guy can get hurt, you know, playing sports.
I understand that. But
they do have a pension, though. They do have a pension.
And I'm not saying that this happens to all of them, but
you see
a lot of these sports that are crafted to guys that as they grow older, the game is crafted a lot different.
Mm-hmm. True.
These are games.
That's right.
Boxing is not a game.
You're not right. They can get a ball to somebody else, right?
Ron, what are you thinking as a member of the younger generation when you got to watch these old guys get in the ring?
Yeah, and you just sparked something that we didn't touch on. You talking about the age. Hey, who's looking out for Rigondeaux? I had him down on those cards in that last fight. That dude was putting hands on Rigondeaux, and he got saved by that punch. And I think he's supposed to be fighting the winner of the it's a tough fight too. It's two fighters fighting.
Ray Vargas, right? The guy who beat Ray Vargas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the winner of that fight, he's fighting somebody else. But either one of those fighters gonna give him a problem. And I don't know, man. He's about 40.
Sure. And I'm like you, man. He picked a hell of a time to play Macho Man in his career.
His legs are gone.
That guy was beating him. You know what? This is the first fight I ever saw of Rigondeaux that I really liked, though.
Yeah, but his legs are gone. He could sell
fans
all he wants, but his legs are shot.
Yes. Yeah, right. And like and that guy, when I'm with you too. When my guy got dropped, man, the fight's been going on that long. You know, he wasn't in any worse shape then to me. But the referee sees things I can't see. But to me, he was in no worse shape at that point than he was at any other point in the fight. They should at least give that guy a chance to cut the fight back.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was a quick stoppage, but you know.
To rebuttal that, in the very next fight, the guy got up and showed like, "Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm bouncing. I'm on my toes." And sooner the ref said fight, Charlo hit him and he hit the rope. And
I know.
That
ref
should have stopped that fight. They shouldn't have let him keep fighting.
I know. Fighters are the own worst enemies sometimes, man. They instinctively nod their head when they get up. They nod their head before the referee asks them a question. They just do that, you know. Yes, it's like that's just as bad as a guy who gets beat for 10 rounds. Then when the last bell rang, he walk around with his hands up in the air. And then look at you like you're crazy when the referee gives the other guy to fight 10-0.
Well, guys, we're going to see Peter Quillen Cable 2X about has been reset.
Okay.
It ended so quickly the last time, but what do you guys think? Once again, speaking of guys that come along in the tube, neither one of these guys. They're time for a rematch or to try to get another championship. It's like that lady says. It's getting my window's closing. What do you think is ahead for either one of these two guys? Neither one of them, like I said, are no spring chickens.
Right.
Have had tremendous losses when they have.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your thoughts on that rematch? And then, do you think that they might, well, I guess they guaranteed at a shot, but, once again, are we seeing, some of these old guys that are taking the places of some of these younger fighters and more promising, fan-friendly? Your thoughts on that, Mr. Jenkins?
Well, I agree with you 100%. When these guys, they say you have to save a fighter from himself a lot of times. Because it seems like when these guys get beat up enough time, then the first thing they say is, I'm going to have to go up and wait because I can't fight at this weight anymore. And I'm like, well, you can't take the punches of somebody in the lower class and you think just by going up in weight is going to make you more durable. I can never understand that train of thought. And Quillen, when he got knocked out by Jacobs, I almost discount that, because it happened so fast and it could happen to anybody. I would love to have seen them fight again, And somebody might say, oh, well, he got stopped in the first round. I said, yeah, but that's happened before, But anyway, these guys, they're not going to get any better. Like you said, all they're going to do is win a fight, and then that's going to propel them into a fight that they shouldn't be in. That's normally what the next step is.
Jabron?
I think it's going to be a competitive fight. Both of them have something to prove, and I feel like, the end of the road could be near for both, so they don't want either one of them want to take a L. So I really don't. I got it a 50-50 fight,
Yeah, because you catch two guys like that, they're pretty even, as far as the wear and tear and everything else, and they'll put up a competitive fight. But like Jimmy said, you got to stay away from those young guys, man. You got to stay away from some of those youngsters. Fighting is a young man's game for the most part. But whenever you say that, the first thing people say is George Foreman and Bernard Hopkins. But that's a rare breed.
Yeah. How long before we're going to see another one of them?
Exactly.
So, hey, guys, as always, glad chopping it up with you on a Sunday, man, and talking about some of the things that.
Always. I enjoy it.
Department. So, Mr. Dickens, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any other news that you have for us before we let you go?
Okay. Well, of course, the biggest thing for me is, like I said, my boy is going to be on that big card on the 27th in Baltimore, Maryland, on the Tank Davis is on the card. My boy's name is Devontae D. Mac McCowan. He's going against a guy by the name of Malik Warren, and he's from the Washington, D.C. area making his debut. So, it should be a good fight, and as I said earlier, we're going to try to give the judges a night off in this fight. And you can find me, Donald Jenkins, on Facebook and on West Coast Boxing Don at westcoastboxing.com.
Does your boy have any social media? We can kind of
We're working on it now. We're working on it now.
Okay.
I just got a new computer. We got a bunch of pictures, and we're going to, I'm not the most computer, genius in the world, so he's helped me put that together. So that's what we're working on now.
All right. Well, you have a great night.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Likewise, you guys. Take care.
Yeah. Well, Professor, you know, always fun talking with you, man. Always, always a different perspective about some of the things that you know. Since I'm an old guy, I'm always kind of concerned about our safety. Even though I'll admit, you know, sometimes you have to save us from ourselves. You know, the old lady still told me about getting up on the garage roof and stuff like that. So sometimes you do have to save us from ourselves. But anyway, that being said, Jabron, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and any final thoughts you got for us tonight, my man?
Thanks to the listeners. Thank you, JK. Thanks, Mr. Duncan. And shout out to Scully, the Iceman, and Layman Brewster, the champ. Can't wait to get you guys back in the stable. And I'm Jabron Clemens. Keep supporting boxing. And you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Jabron Clemens, JABRANCLEMON. JK, let them know where they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook, of course, on the Pugilist Corner and the Weekend Wrap. All you have to do is hit it up on Facebook. You'll see all of our podcasts, our programs, including the Dog Pound on Tuesday with K9 and I. Occasionally, the professor drops it in. Hey, we'd like to thank everybody for listening. And don't forget to go to our GoFundMe campaign. We belong on the air, and we thank everyone for their contribution so far. And just keep supporting boxing, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. Scully, you have a great time with the family, as well as the champ. Nothing more beautiful than family. Jabron, I hope you had a great weekend with your family, man, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. So have a great night, everyone. We'll see you next Sunday.